Okay, so I've very kindly got an invite to the University of Essex. I'm sitting with the new Vice-Chancellor, Anthony Forster, who is very new in his post. So I'm quite keen to find out a little more about his background and what he thinks of the town. So Anthony, welcome. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much indeed, Jason.
So I guess a really good starting point would be you're in your first term here on campus. A bit more, please, about your own background.
Yes, I'm a professor of politics and international relations, and over the last 20 years or so, I've been specialising in foreign and security policy. And more recently, I've been looking at British military politics. And I'm particularly interested in a range of relationships the armed forces have with society, with the government of the day, and also with the Ministry of Defence, who are the employers of servicemen and women. And a number of different aspects of that have concerned me over the last decade, particularly issues around the duty of care that the government owes servicemen and women. It's been called the military covenant. But I'm also interested in the way in which society relates to the armed forces, and in particular some of the socio-legal changes in relation to human rights legislation and also health and safety legislation, and the way that impacts on the British armed forces and the culture and the way in which they're organised.
And that would seem to fit perfectly with Essex University and also Colchester. So we have the very, very strong garrison connection in the town, and the politics department here is always booming. Were these two factors that might have influenced your choice in coming here?
They certainly did. I would also add to that the reputation of the university in social sciences is absolutely top. It's, you know, the number one university in the United Kingdom for social science, and being a social scientist, that sort of reputation has a very strong appeal to me.
And if it's not prying too much, I have no idea how all this works. How on earth does a university go about recruiting a new vice-chancellor? Is there a job advert in The Guardian and you apply for it?
That's pretty much it. It's an open competition, both attracting external and internal candidates. And it's advertised in the major newspapers and in the academic press. And it's followed by a selection process that involves not only members of the academic community, members of Senate, but also members of the University Council, who are the Board of Trustees of the university.
Okay, Anthony, I know you've been on campus, it's very early days, since around August time, but what are your first impressions, first of all, of the university itself?
I'm really, really excited to be the Vice-Chancellor. It's a wonderful, wonderful university doing very important things. It's a university that has a very clear sense of values in terms of the international dimension of the university, in terms of interdisciplinarity, which matters, particularly in producing research that has an impact not just within disciplines, but across society as well. And those are very strong features of the university that in the first 3 months of my appointment, I've really noticed in a very significant way. I also think that the campus is wonderful, and I happen to love this sort of architecture. A lot of thought and care and attention has been put into designing the campus to make sure that the architecture and the buildings reflect the academic mission of the university. And I'm excited by the prospects of not only putting up some new buildings, perhaps we'll talk about that later, but also about the refurbishment plans that we have for the historic estate. So incredible facilities, and very excited to take up the post.
I think it's a fair question to ask. So how many times have you been lost so far in these wonderful corridors?
More times than I care to mention. I now realise that the best course of action is actually to have somebody who's been in the university a very long time who can actually take me to exactly the right place. Although even yesterday, somebody who's worked in the university 20 years got lost themselves. So it was quite fun. And I always say to people who, like me, are struggling with finding their way around the university, just stop and ask, because people are very friendly and will absolutely stop what they're doing and help take you to exactly where you need to be.
Okay, so I'm sure you've been busy getting to grips with the day job, but has there been any time, Anthony, to look around and experience a bit more about the local area, so Colchester, Wivenhoe?
There's not been much time, but we have managed to get out and about a little bit. So we've explored Colchester and we've explored Wivenhoe, and we've looked at and travelled around in the car around parts of North Essex and into Suffolk, and that's been a wonderful experience. It's not a part of the world that I knew at all well, and I've just been incredibly impressed by how wonderful the landscape is and the coastline, and actually how friendly people are as well.
Yes, it's a very welcoming community. I know only last week you were in Wivenhoe for the Town and Gown. Is it worth mentioning a bit more about how that event went and some of the ideas that you were hearing then?
Yeah, the Town and Gown's been running for 8 years. It's an event held typically in Wivenhoe or at the university campus, alternating each year. It was a wonderful occasion of about 60, 70 people who came together from the town and from the university to fundraise for student scholarships. And it was a fantastically enjoyable occasion and really represented what I would like to see as the very best of the relationship between people of Wivenhoe and the university coming together to celebrate students and to find resources to help students who are now paying, you know, very significant fees to come to university.
Yes, I think there's many benefits that the university can offer to the wider area, employment being the obvious one, but how do you see any other benefits that both the university and Colchester and Wivenhoe can really bring together?
Well, the first thing I would say is that the university generates about £192 million into the local economy. Beyond the people that the university directly employs, there's another 1,000 jobs that derive from the university being in its location at Wivenhoe Park. But there's so much more that the university does do for the local community, particularly in terms of arts and volunteering. And it's perhaps worth saying a little bit more about that. I mean, the Art Exchange and the Lakeside Theatre on campus are open for business. They're offering very exciting shows that have a very significant local draw. So about 40% of all of the visitors in Lakeside Theatre and Art Exchange are coming from the local community. That's wonderful. If it could be even higher, that would be even better. The university also makes a very significant contribution to First Sight in Colchester. So that's also really important in making sure that we share the cultural heritage of this region as widely as possible, both on Wivenhoe Park campus and also at First Sight in Colchester as well. But I think there's a lot more that we can and should do, and I'm struck by the fact that the university was founded by the generosity of the people of Essex nearly 50 years ago, who raised £1.5 million for the university to be established here in Wivenhoe Park. And I think it's a really exciting opportunity to ask ourselves, what should the relationship be like between Wivenhoe and Colchester and Essex more generally? Have we really capitalised in the best sort of way on those relationships? And what are the sort of next steps for the next 50 years that we can take in terms of strengthening the relationship between town and gown?
Is there any strength in the idea of perhaps introducing some form of discount for local people to use the theatre, to use the wonderful sports facilities? I'm not quite sure how you would actually manage that, but is that something which is worth looking into perhaps?
I would want to look into anything that can strengthen the relationship between our neighbours in Essex and the university. I think that's really important, and I think we should leave no stone unturned in that regard. The founding vision of the university was actually to make sure that there was no barrier between the boundary of the campus and the boundary of Wivenhoe and the boundary of Colchester. And I'm really keen to see how we can create a space and a place where our people who are not part of the university actually feel welcome on campus and can use the resources, the fabulous resources that we've got, to most effect. And if that's a suggestion of looking at pricing, then that's absolutely what we must do.
Okay, which brings us, Anthony, towards expansion. And the university has always been expanding. That's the very nature of the way it was built. It was built from the middle with the idea of going out and out and out. So this is no new thing. So the current expansion, it is vast. There are many things taking place. The Knowledge Gateway, I think, would be a good starting point. So could you explain to people who perhaps aren't quite sure, what is the Knowledge Gateway?
So Knowledge Gateway was has been created over the last couple of years, and it is a space where we want to make sure that the university is more business facing. So we want to create an opportunity for businesses to come to the Wivenhoe Park campus, to be located in excellent infrastructure, and in a way that they can actually benefit from the intellectual capital that exists within the university. We've completed the first phase of that, so that the roads and the infrastructure have now all gone in. We're just about in January to start building on the Knowledge Gateway site, and the first phase of that is something called Parkside, where we'll be creating business units supported by the LEP, so that we can start off the process of attracting businesses into the campus so that they can benefit from the type of infrastructure and the facilities that we've got.
So it's quite a shift away from the traditional university idea of academics teaching students to a more business model. Is this something which, I wouldn't say concerns you, but is this just the very, very nature of the way that education is changing? So that traditional lecture hall, lecturer, student, you need a new kind of model, really, to try and expand and to try and really keep on moving forward.
Well, it to some degree it is new, and to some degree actually it's a well-established path that universities have been taking over the last 50 years or so. And the founding vision of the university was that there wouldn't be ivory towers in this university. We wouldn't be a university that was inward-looking and that was just about writing scholarly texts for other academics. But actually it was about producing research and knowledge for the real world. So in many respects, the Knowledge Gateway represents a return to the founding vision of the university that is very outward-looking, very engaged in the local and regional and national economy, and producing research that has impact and matters. I suppose it would be fair to say that the funding regime is changing very radically. We've moved from, in essence, direct funding from the state, coming from government through a funding council, to the predominance of the income the university has now coming directly from students who pay fees. And that is a very significant change. Over the next 3 years, about 80% of our funding will be removed from central government, and it will be replaced by student fees. And we need to make sure that we are drawing in income to the university in a way that will support our mission. And our mission for me is very clearly about excellence in research and excellence in education.
Yes, the university always does fare very, very highly in numerous research that's carried out in terms of rating departments. We mentioned in particular the strength of the social science departments. But with the tuition fees, the university is charging the maximum price. What would be your message for anybody thinking of applying? I wouldn't want to sell it because I'm a graduate here and it's benefited me. But if you were maybe currently doing your A-levels and you're looking around, what is the selling point for the university in going with the tuition fees?
The selling point for the University of Essex is that we offer research-led teaching, and we care about the student experience. We recognise that students are not simply spending 3 years at university to get a degree, but actually are spending 3 or 4 years at university to be educated. And we think with a combination of research-led teaching, making sure that students are taught by absolutely world-leading, world-recognised academics, that we get a better quality of education that we can offer to students, and that actually the campus experience really matters. And that there are opportunities for sport, for arts, for volunteering, leadership opportunities that will help people develop and ultimately be more attractive in the job market after 3 or 4 years. And that's what the university is advancing in terms of what we offer, and we hope that will be attractive to students.
And so all these new students coming in, and also new professionals and people working here, this campus wasn't built to sustain initially the sheer footfall of people. And so worth mentioning is also the expansion rapidly taking place is the car park. Mm. We can see it's necessary. What would your view be about people thinking that perhaps other more sustainable transport might or should have been encouraged rather than just building a car park? Yeah.
Those are interesting questions. In fact, the university was designed for 20,000 students, and we currently have 11,000. But it is fair to say that the car parking hasn't kept up with the modern ways of working and modern ways of life. So the multi-storey car park is the first time we've significantly expanded car parking spaces in the university over the last 50 years. But it's not the only thing that we're doing. We're encouraging green and sustainable forms of transport, and have received prizes over the last couple of years for the amount of energy and effort that we've put in to really thinking through what a green and sustainable transport plan would look like. Clearly, one of the important elements is going to be putting into effect a cycle path between Wivenhoe and the university, something we feel very strongly about indeed. And the university has provided £250,000 for that. And we're now lobbying hard to the council, who are responsible for putting the cycle path in place to make sure that happens as quickly as possible. In fact, at our council meeting on Monday, we spent quite a bit of time talking about this because we're very keen, having provided £250,000, that cycle path goes in as quickly as is possible.
Yes, I think it's worth pointing out for the record that money has been paid to Essex County Council, so it's over now to the County Council to think about how they can go about building that. Maybe a final question, if that's okay, Anthony. And so we've touched upon what brings you here, what your thoughts are, and the expansion. Was there anything in particular that you think, as the candidate during the selection process, that perhaps you sold yourself? Is there any kind of vision which you would like to personally maybe put in place over the next 3, 5, 10 years here at the university?
There is, and I think the university has a very exciting opportunity to really focus on the mission of being excellent in research and excellent in education. The university has a phenomenal track record in terms of research excellence. It's ranked 9th nationally in the country for the quality of research. For a university of our size, that's an extraordinary achievement. And what I'm very keen to do is make sure that we match that excellence in research with excellence in education that we offer to students who are already paying £9,000 of fees and will really want to feel in a very direct and material way that they're benefiting from not just the infrastructure and us being a residential campus-based university, but also the world-class research that's taking place across the whole of the university.
Okay, well, that could be a good point to end. So that has been Anthony Forster, who is the Vice-Chancellor here at the University of Essex. And we wish you well over the coming months, years. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Jason.